What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Hot Shot Wake Up. This is your weekly wildfire update. A couple fires that have grown in the multiple thousands of acres now in these timbered regions of the United States have started and are in that extended attack realm now. Multiple teams have been sent out. We're going to talk about those. The flat fire in Oregon. There's this Bowles fire on the Beaverhead Deer Lodge National Forest in Montana. The Colt fire in Missoula County. We'll take a look at that. The Bitterroot National Forest in Montana had a tremendous amount of lightning come through. They have a lot of new smaller starts as well. We'll have to keep an eye on those. Idaho has this Hayden fire burning on the Sam and Chalice National Forest. That's been chunking away. The surprising one about that is it's still kind of green up there. The peaks still have snow on them. But this subalpine fir, which basically if it is low fuel moisture, is basically gasoline with pieces of tissue paper attached to it. And it sloughs off and you get all sorts of spot fires. And that's what they're dealing with on the Colt fire right now in Montana. Full transparency, they probably had this thing caught twice now. One a couple days ago, then it took off and they transitioned to this critical incident management team that came in. And then yesterday they almost got around it, but you know, some fire activity, you hit that warming period of the day. And again, you have some spot fires that jump your line and it's off to the races and people got to pull into the black and you pull crews off and you reassess. And that's kind of what was taking place on the Colt fire yesterday. We'll have to see what that looks like today as well. Down in Arizona and New Mexico, you're still getting lightning starts. The monsoons have slowly started to come in. Las Vegas, New Mexico got like 2 inches of hail and like sleet the other day. And that's where this Calf Canyon Hermit's Peak fire was. They had some flooding come through there. But if you keep pushing into Arizona, they're not getting as much rain and they are still seeing these lightning starts that are growing to fairly big size for a late season desert fire down in the Southwest. So we'll do an operational breakdown. We'll talk about what's going on. Canada and British Columbia is still romping around. There's this St. Mary's fire that we'll talk about. And then we'll dive into some stories. Lockheed Martin with NVIDIA. So those two paired up, you're basically looking at the military industrial complex with a large piece of big tech. They've joined forces and have created AI simulations for wildfire and are diving into this and are producing chips and making technology for the wildfire world. There's a big write-up in that. They're saying to all their shareholders, you know, this is a brand new market. We're not just dealing with the military anymore. We're dealing with wildfire. And we've been talking about this for a while, and so have other folks, of the military-industrial complex moving and getting their fingers into the wildfire world and it turning into the same kind of industry, which that industry creep has been taking place for a while now, but this article basically sums it up and they're like, look, you can dive into the omniverse and virtual reality and we have all these fancy AI programs and technologies that we're going to implement and integrate into wildfire. And our bottom line's going to increase and you should buy our stock. Like, it was inevitable. And yes, the technology is intriguing. But, you know, it's going to turn even more into that type of industry that is just trying to peel billions of dollars out of all of these events that take place across the United States. It's an interesting article. We'll cover that. There was an investigation that it concluded, but it's not really decided on the cause of the tunnel fire, which was outside of Flagstaff, Arizona last year. If you're a new listener or you weren't really super paying attention to the wildfire season early last year, Flagstaff, Arizona had some multiple fires around it. And everybody's wondering how they all started. And there's been these year-long investigations now. The hotshot superintendent of the Flagstaff Hotshots put out a op-ed in the local paper, kind of talking to the citizenry down there and saying, hey, this is what wildfire season is, and a lot of great points. It should have been picked up by the national news and broadcast everywhere, but the locals down there got to read it, and it was great. That investigation has concluded. We'll cover those points. And then there's some other things that we'll jump into as well. But let's start with the operational update. We have moved up to a preparedness level 3 nationally. I wouldn't be too shocked if sometime early August we see that PL4 kick off, especially if some of these fires in the Northern Rockies start to take off and more resources are committed there. In the last 24 hours, there's been 115 new fires reported, 9 of those large incidents. That number is going up. There are 25 uncontained large fires. That number has jumped quite a bit in the last week since we last talked about it. Starting off in the Pacific Northwest, they're at a PL2. There's the Flat Fire, which I think a lot of people are aware of. This is burning in Oregon. Type 2 team has taken over. That's the Northwest Team 6. They are transitioning to a Type 1 team, though, and that would be Northwest Team 3. This fire started near Oak Flat Campground. There's some rumors swirling around that some campers were shooting. Those are yet to be confirmed, but it is pretty well known at this point in time that the origin of the fire happened somewhere around that campground. And that's just southeast of Agnes, Oregon. We'll cover their daily brief that they put out this morning to kind of get an idea of what's taking place on that fire. They have a tremendous amount of people there. There's 32 crews currently on that fire, 25 engines, 7 dozers, 11 tenders, 8 masticators, and 10 helicopters for a total personnel of almost 1,100 people. It is a large fire, and really no doubt in my mind why they went to a Type 1 incident. It's currently 18,463 acres. It says the Pacific Northwest team arrived last night and will be shadowing with Northwest Team 6 today, taking over management of the fire tomorrow at 6 a.m. Overnight, more fire activity was internal and crews were able to hold the fire within the control lines. Great, great news for the communities all around. They boxed this thing in. They did some burn operations. They inserted a lot of people, and it sounds like a lot of good work was done. For what's happening on the fire, they're saying they're working on extinguishing the hotspots that are remaining. They're completing burnout operations on the north and northwest areas of the fire, working to keep the fire within the control lines. In the southern area, crews are prepping Forest Road 3318, also known as Wild Horse Road, and they're working south with resources using heavy equipment, clearing vegetation, and creating fuel breaks to slow the spread of the fire. In the northeast, timber fallers are finishing falling standing dead trees so crews can start burnout operations if possible. Structure protection groups are also set to use sprinkler kits and prep around buildings. I bet those fallers are pretty excited to get out. I know a lot of them have been chomping at the bit to get out. But that's the Flat Fire up in Oregon. There were a couple other ones that popped off in Oregon as well just yesterday. There's this Haight Creek Fire. It's smaller. It's 110 acres, but it's up in timber near Veneta, Oregon. They've been working on that. A night ago, there was some pretty significant activity on that fire. But they are starting to get a handle on that one. Backing up just a little bit, the Flat Fire in Oregon has cost $8.3 million up until this point. There was this Newell Road Fire in Washington. Last night, that one started. It went 6,000 acres in 2 hours. 6,000 acres in 2 hours. Ran like crazy. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but there is a lot of infrastructure out there. There are some houses out there. There's a bunch of solar panels, like installations that are under threat. There's a lot of windmills out there that are under threat. And this thing just kind of took off. Not a whole lot of updates this morning on that, but talking to someone last night, it sounds like it was kind of jumping some dozer lines and causing some headaches later into the evening. Looking at the Northern Rockies now, they're at a preparedness level 3 that bumped up yesterday. They had 19 new fires. They had this Colt Fire that now Northern Rockies Team 1 is taking over. They are one of these new critical incident management teams. If you don't know what those are, I did a podcast on it maybe a month ago talking about it. But it's interesting. I've been talking to some of these operational folks who are a part of these critical incident management teams that are a little different than your standard incident management team, type one, type two type of thing, where they're able to like flex up and flex down and better transition size of a fire. I think that's kind of the aspect of this all. But talking to some folks, they're wondering how it's all going to go down, and maybe you'll lose some people over time because of this, and maybe type two teams get used less. But it's a very interesting situation, and I think it's an interesting way to set up these teams because it is to transition faster and make these processes easier. But again, this is new, and a couple of them have gone out since this started, and I'm always very curious to see how these things end up working. Anyway, the Colt fires near Sealy Lake, the Rainy Lake community, was evacuated. At least part of it was. Some pretty significant activity. At the top of the show, like I said, they almost had this fire caught a couple times. They put a bunch of retardant around it. It was looking really good for a couple days. Then it pooched out, ran. They called in a bunch of resources, and they tried to wrangle it. Bitterroot Hotshots did a really good job punching in line. And then ultimately what happens on a southern slope around 3 o'clock in the afternoon is something torches, you get a ton of spot fires across your line, the sun hits it, and it's off to the races, and everybody has to hunker down for a little bit while you reassess what you're going to do. That's one to keep an eye on. Current cost is already $1.5 million. They're saying it's around 600 acres. I haven't seen any new mapping yet this morning, but I'll keep an eye out for that as we move on. There's also this Bowles Creek fire in the Beaverhead Deer Lodge National Forest outside of Grantsville. Again, very significant wildfire activity happening there. That thing cranked for a little bit yesterday, and they're getting people on it and trying to find an anchor, flank it, and pinch it off. Consulus fire in Idaho Panhandle, they're getting a handle on that as well. 466 acres, it's $5.3 million for this 466-acre fire. It's one of the more beautiful fires in the nation right now. I've seen some pictures. It's a gorgeous area. A lot of good work has gone in. I'm shocked that it's $5.3 million, but it is what it is. Wildfire is an industry, and there's a lot of money being thrown around at these things. There was a lot of folks on the Midnight Fire as well. That was in the Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest near Grangeville, Idaho. Around 180, 200-ish acres is what they're saying. 190 people on it. And again, for a 180-acre fire, this has already cost $3 million. So a lot of money is going into Idaho in July at this point in time. If you go south and look at the Great Basin, they, again, along with a couple others, moved their preparedness level up to 3. They had 15 new fires in the last 24 hours, and the big one was, of course, this Hayden fire in the Salmon Chalice National Forest. Great Basin Team 7, which is an incident management team type 2. That's near Lidor, Idaho. Very active wildfire, 3,100 acres. 260 people already on it. And then if you look at the difference, that fire, again, in Idaho, but has only cost $525,000 at this point in time. With the Type 2 team coming in, those prices are going to go up significantly. But as of right now, still sub $1 million. They put out an incident update this morning, and we'll cover that, saying that it started Wednesday, July 19th at approximately 11:30 a.m., it's burning in extremely difficult terrain. Spruce, subalpine fir, heavy dead and down timber components basically everywhere. There's a massive fuel load in that area. It says the cause of the fire is undetermined at this point in time. If you look at the footage and you know how to read, you know, movement of a wildfire and the footprint of a wildfire, it obviously started at the base of the mountain. And if you're looking at lightning fires, they usually strike, you know, in an open field or on the peaks or ridges of mountaintops. So I'm curious to see how this investigation of the cause of the fire proceeds, because just looking at it, it looks like it started at the very bottom of the mountain slope, and a clear V-like pattern spreading upslope into the steeps. It's been very hot in this area, Idaho. Parts of like Missoula, Montana, they're predicting 100 degrees today, so that should be very interesting with the fires up there. They've had gusts of 25 mile an hour winds, so when it comes to new starts, these things are in a perfect environment to grow large at this point in time. It says yesterday, dealing with this Hayden fire now, aviation resources were hampered by poor visibility, but ground crews were able to identify areas for bulldozers and handline to the north of the fire. Fire growth was predominantly to the southwest in Morse Creek. Today, resources will continue to push dozer line along the eastern side of the fire, tying into natural barriers. So they're pushing these things into like rock screes, open rocky ridge lines, and that's what they mean by natural barriers. Maybe there's a river out there, but looking at the landscape, my guess is they're punching it into open rocky areas. It says they'll begin implementing a plan for dozer and handline along the north side as well. Crews will be prepping Morse Creek campground and other values to the south. Aviation will be utilized if visibility improves. So Idaho has been busy as well. They had this Gold Run fire. They basically have that thing wrapped up at this point in time. 806 acres. It was 40 miles north of Boise. Grass fire that ran up into some timber. 207 people. They threw the world at it at this point in time. That costs $1.8 million to date. But again, they have a pretty good handle on that one. They have it listed as 20% contained, but in reality, it's more than that, but they take these things slow when they start inching up that containment level with these publicly released percentages. Then Utah, the Rocky Fire, that's southeast of Ibapah, Utah, 1,000 acres. There were some structures threatened. Already have 40 people on it. This started yesterday and a cost of $150,000. So the Great Basin, after a slow start and a massive amount of snowfall over the wintertime, you're now getting fires thousands of acres. And I'm very curious to see what happens once Nevada dries out. There's tons of grass running into sage and juniper in Nevada, and they're just waiting for that to totally cure out. And we'll see if that results in these massive desert fires like you saw back in 2012 was a big desert year where it was just 10,000 acres after 10,000 acres after 10,000 acres. In 2012, we were on a fire in Nevada, and the desert fires were so bad that really is just like, how do we get these things to slow down? And we would watch the military do mock dogfights with their fighter pilots over the desert while we were on a fire. And then we'd see them shoot out this chaff, which is like an anti-missile defense system that these aircraft use. And then we'd watch these canisters fall to the ground and start new fires and take off. And then we'd have to go catch those ones as F-16s are ripping overhead. Literal bombs going off in mountainsides next to us. And I remember the local paper, sometimes in ICP, they would bring local papers in so you could read them for breakfast. And the local paper was saying the military claims that they didn't start any of these wildfires. Meanwhile, we're out there watching them real time starting wildfires. But of course, they don't want the liability, so they just say, no, absolutely not, we weren't out there. But roundabout point, once desert fire season starts and that fuel becomes available, it rips and it goes, and that's where you see a lot of this heat exhaustion and people going down. And that's when people start hiking QBs around and making sure you have extra water, because those desert fires in Caliente, Nevada, are pretty rough. Going down to the southwest, they are at a PL3. They had 14 new fires. They had this Adams Peak fire near Dragoon, Arizona. Lajara Canyon in New Mexico, outside of Ojo Feliz, New Mexico, timber, brush, and grass. the Guzzler fire, which that thing kind of ripped for a little while in the Apache Sitgraves, threw a lot of people at that. But they've had a lot of new lightning starts in the past 48 hours. There's the Black Mesa fire, 820 acres. The Guzzler, over 1,500 acres. Lajara Canyon, 400. Adams Peak, 2,200 acres. The Chimney fire, 1,700 acres. The Robles fire, which they actually complexed together with others, 3,000 acres. Telegraph fire is 600. Redfield, 800 acres. The Davis fire in New Mexico, 5,000 acres. The Divide Fire in New Mexico, 3,700 acres. Tons of lightning has been coming through with the monsoon season slowly pushing in. But again, they're not getting the significant amount of rain, which is a lot different from what their spring and winter was, where they just, it was an unbelievable amount of precipitation. Altogether, those fires are costing $8-9 million collectively. The Chimney Fire is already at $1 million. The Campbell Fire, $1.5 million. And the Southwest just has a lot of people running around doing IAs. And that's an important thing to remember is we have a lot of crews up in Canada. And how it traditionally goes is the Southwest usually ends right about now. Their fire season is winding down. And they shotgun out for a couple rolls into Region 4, which is the Great Basin, or they head off to California, go up to Montana or Idaho, and kind of get a couple rolls in before they shut down for the year. But as monsoon season is pushed further out, those resources become less available for the other regions whose fire seasons are starting. And on top of that, we have all of these crews that have been sent up to Canada. So there might be a 3-4 week period here where there is a shortage of resources on kind of a slow year. And that just all breaks down to logistics and planning and how it all got hashed out. But definitely something to keep an eye on. California, not a lot of action. There's this Rabbit Fire. That's basically taken care of. $14.2 million for that fire. Really, the interesting fire in California is the Pico Fire in Yosemite National Park. Almost 1,000-ish acres at this point in time. Cheap fire, $300,000, but it's in a beautiful area. It's natural, clean fire, I guess I would call it. They are putting some fire on the ground to kind of tickle this thing around the park, but it was a lightning-caused fire. It's a beautiful area, and the folks that are working on that right now are fortunate because it's a very beautiful, beautiful fire. And then Texas, ton of fires as well. Nothing got huge, but again, Texas is starting to dry out a little bit, and they're seeing these fires pushing into the area. Don't forget Colorado. There's not a lot publicly to report out of Colorado, but there are a lot of smaller fires. There are a couple hundred acres here, a couple hundred acres there. Not enough to get on, you know, the SIT report or anything like that, but their season is still just kind of cranking along. They got initial attack fires still happening at a fairly decent pace. And then real quickly up in Canada, British Columbia mostly is the busy spot right now in Canada. This is traditionally when their wildfire season starts, and they already have record acreage burned. The biggest one up there is the fire outside of Cranbrook, which is the St. Mary's fire. It shut down an airport, evacuated a bunch of people. Sounds like a bunch of homes were consumed as well. But that thing's cranking. It's probably pushing 8,000 plus acres at this point in time. In Canadian language, that's around 3,500 hectares. And that thing continues to push, as do a bunch of other fires up there as well. The Yukon still has fires. The Northwest Territories still have fires. And of course, there's still a little bit of work to be done in Alberta as well. That's the operational update. I'd like to give a shout out to a couple firefighters from, I believe they were from North Carolina, but they were in Wyoming at the time, and they bumped into some family members of mine just 2 days ago, I believe it was, and my show came up, and the podcast and the Substack came up, and they were very kind, said they were subscribers, and you know, I just appreciate you taking the time to talk to my family members who are obviously interested to have a chat with some firefighters. And it sounds like you were really nice and polite, and I appreciate that. Sounds like you were on your way out to Oregon, so good luck out there. But I just wanted to shout that out because even thousands of miles away, you know, people I know are running into people who know who I am, and they're having conversations after dinner, and it's just kind of nice to hear that kind of thing. On that note, thank you to all of the paid subscribers on the Substack. If you want to participate in supporting what I do, that is the only way that I am supported. No advertisements, no sponsorships, just the Substack. Go to thehotshotwakeup.substack.com, click on that subscribe button for a monthly subscription, and like, share the articles, and I appreciate everyone who has been willing to do that. Because without you, I wouldn't be able to continue to do what I do.
I have traveled this year over all the United States, through the Alleghenies, the White Mountains, and the Catskills, the Rockies and the Bitterroot Mountains, the Cascades, the Coast Range, and the Sierras.
So many years ago, a president by the name of Eisenhower warned us on his last day of office to beware the military-industrial complex. And the reason was because it was this creeping industry that was consuming so much money and energy, and it was becoming this very, very powerful industry that even the president of the United States, who himself was a general, told the American people to beware of. A lot of people in the wildfire world for a long time have been saying that this is going to slowly creep into our industry simply because there are dollar signs plastered all over it, and they see profits everywhere as we pay wildland firefighters peanuts. But there is an interesting article that came out from NVIDIA talking about their new cooperation with Lockheed Martin dealing with state and federal Forest Service agencies to fight wildfires with AI. A year and a half ago, I did a podcast saying AI within the next 5 years will be omnipresent in the wildfire world. And we don't know all of the benefits and all of the cons that would come out of that, but it's coming. And we should at least prepare ourselves for it because of the amount of money that was being thrown into it. It was basically unstoppable. So the article says, new Silicon Valley lab to simulate and combat blazes with NVIDIA chips, systems, and using the Omniverse. To better understand wildfires and to stop their spread, NVIDIA and Lockheed Martin are announcing today that they are working with the United States Department of Agriculture, Forest Service, and the Colorado Division of Fire using artificial intelligence and digital twin simulations. The companies are also announcing that they're building the world's first artificial intelligence-centric lab dedicated to predicting and responding to wildfires. The lab will use AI infrastructure and the NVIDIA Omniverse advanced visualization and virtual world simulation platforms to process a fire's magnitude and forecast its progress. I'm laughing because a year and a half ago when I was talking on the Substack, I was saying that you're going to have type 1 IMTs, incident management teams, in their yurts in fire camp with virtual reality goggles on, micromanaging the fire and trying to predict, and it's all going to be virtual reality. And I got some really mean emails after that, basically telling me that I was stupid, and that I was imagining things and just some crazy conspiracy theorist. Well, it's here, and they're building a multi-billion dollar lab in Silicon Valley to do this. Oh, folks, it's already here, okay? It's progressing. There's billions of dollars going into it. They are having multi-million dollar competitions for drone suppression. I just can't hammer it enough. This is what's coming. It says, by recreating the fire in a physically accurate digital twin form in the Omniverse, the system will be able to suggest operational actions and how to best suppress these fires. So again, like I said, AI will be running wildfires, and they're building these systems so the artificial intelligence will suggest to the operator which actions to take. I find this so fascinating. This new AI development lab will be based in Silicon Valley, and it will include Lockheed Martin's Cognitive Mission Management System, an end-to-end artificial intelligence-driven planning and orchestration platform that combines real-time sensor data about the fire with other data sources on fuel vegetation, topography, wind, and more to predict the fire's spread. The CMM provides course of action recommendations from artificial intelligence to the incident command teams to decrease response time and increase effectiveness of wildfire suppression and humanitarian actions. Now, when they tested a blimp over the Moose Fire last year, this blimp was the size of a football stadium, and it had all sorts of arrays attached to it, camera systems, sensors, communication devices, and people were like, what's going on here? What's happening? And, you know, you look into the company, and I did all sorts of articles on the Substack about it, and you find out that, number one, they're trying to get 5G connectivity over national forests, specifically when there's wildfires. And then you ask, well, why? And then they say, well, communication, we need to communicate. Well, the big reason is because all of these companies have worked together in the military industry. And you have communication, and you have software, and you have hardware, and all of these companies work together to make this technology work. Well, now we have Lockheed Martin's Cognitive Mission Manager, which is an AI system that live time makes suppression suggestions to incident management teams and incident commanders. And then, of course, you need these giant blimps in the air to run all of this software and these devices. I'm here to tell you, which are the emails that I got after I did the blimp article about the Moose Fire on the Substack, was a lot of people just being like, it's taking weather observations. What's wrong? Yeah, they're just taking temperatures. It's like, no, they're not. There's massive camera arrays and sensors, infrared, 5G capable broadcast systems, and it's all to trial run this stuff that is being implemented. This lab, it says, will serve as an open collaboration space for industry and users to concentrate talent and resources for CMM design and rapidly develop prototypes in NVIDIA Omniverses. Lockheed Martin is providing domain expertise in applied artificial intelligence, platform integration, planning and oversight, as well as several dozen application engineers and data scientists. To crunch the data and train our artificial intelligence models, Lockheed Martin and NVIDIA will combine systems to make that happen. To visualize the fires and predict how they might spread, Lockheed Martin uses the virtual reality Omniverse Enterprise. Strap on those 3D goggles and sit in your yurt. Turn on the air conditioner, unpack an Uncrustable, and start moving drones around. Oh, wow. I just love that visual. It says the Omniverse allows fire behavior analysts to see the predictions in a digital twin environment. So a mirrored environment in virtual reality is what it is. Using real-time multi-GPU scalable simulation platforms, Lockheed Martin creates visualizations of the predicted fire movements and studies their flow dynamics across digital replicas of their landscape. This enables a team to utilize the Omniverse in multiple areas. The fire control industry primarily relies on tools derived from the Rothermel surface fire spread model to predict fire progression. However, the team at Lockheed Martin is working with the group that created this model, the Forestry Service Missoula Fire Sciences Lab, to examine how AI can improve upon existing models of fire front prediction with speed and accuracy. So Lockheed Martin is hanging out in Missoula with the fire lab up there, creating virtual reality twin mirrored landscapes, slamming all of that data through artificial intelligence processing, and it's spitting out suggestions to incident commanders how to suppress and take action on those wildfires. It says, in our Omniverse, you have a virtual world that represents a photorealistic digital environment. In it, we can visualize the fires and aspects that affect them, like the terrain, slope, wind, and more. In the near future, we could generate synthetic data by flying virtual assets through the Omniverse environment. Additionally, the Omniverse simulation becomes the foundation to create additional AI-based models to explore response behaviors. So it's learning. It's an open-ended learning artificial intelligence Omniverse with human operators manipulating data so the artificial intelligence can learn from it and spit out suggestions on how to suppress wildfires. It says they are now moving with Lockheed Martin with their overlay technology to integrate it into aircraft cockpits to display fire prediction models and suggest course of action for suppression, drops, and bucket operations real time. And again, you wonder why they need blimps two times the size of a soccer stadium flying over wildfires now. This is why. They've already tested these heads-up displays, but what they're saying is the artificial intelligent Omniverse will display that virtual world through cockpit displays in aircraft and suggest different courses of action real time with this virtual display in the aircraft. Again, like this has been known for multiple years. The funding has been there forever. And it is no surprise because it's a massive, massive industry with billions and billions of dollars. You start listening to all this and you're like, well, no wonder they're not passing the raises for all these firefighters. They are trying to make a lot of them obsolete at this point in time. That being said, it's fascinating technology. I would love to strap one of these things on and see what it looks like in the Omniverse trying to direct aircraft with AI chirping in my ear, telling me that I need to do this or that. In closing, it says, working with U.S. and Colorado fire management agencies, the United States Department of Agriculture, the Forest Service, and Missoula Fire Science Laboratory, which is in Missoula, Montana, it's conducting cutting-edge work in wildland fire research and has been providing applications, data, software, and products to aid in fire analysis and simulation. That lab has developed the FarSight Wildfire Growth and Behavior Prediction Tools using the Rothermel Surface Fire Spread Model. The lab has provided the Lockheed Martin team with critical expertise on fire behavior and historical data. The Lockheed Martin team is embedded with the multi-mission aircraft program up in Colorado to participate in operations and collect data from fires directly being mapped by that aircraft. And we've seen video and footage from this multi-mission aircraft already this year. I've posted it on social media. It's actually a really cool platform. The way that the overlay looks with the fire, the footprint, where the active flanks are, and then there's just a smorgasbord of data on your screen telling you everything that you would want to know. So again, these programs have been implemented live time over wildfires already this year, specifically in Colorado with this program. It says, through this continued partnership, Lockheed Martin engineers will be able to process data and make predictions through their AI systems from an active wildfire observed by the aircraft in real time to assist the fire responders on the ground. The multi-mission aircraft is also collecting footage and data to be implemented into NVIDIA's Omniverse for more data processing for the artificial intelligence. Lockheed Martin will continue to collaborate both physically and within our digital artificial intelligence twin environment to develop and mature these operating systems. This is the kicker. It's the last sentence of the article, and I've been saying this for a long time. One day, uncrewed aerial vehicles will rapidly respond and suppress emergency wildfires using this technology. So they close the article with, ultimately, these are going to go into hardware systems, aircraft, and others that have no pilot and are completely unassisted, being run on AI Omniverse military software that will real-time decide how they're going to suppress these wildfires. That's how they close the article. It's what the XPRIZE competition is about. I want to see it happen real-time. Like, I want to see how these systems work if you just send a drone swarm out operated by AI to try to put these things out, how that actually works. But again, it's coming, it's here, it's already in the field. If Missoula Fire Science Labs are working with Lockheed Martin and these systems, and, you know, I don't mean this as an insult, but everybody knows it. If these fire nerds are sitting in their labs with VR goggles on, you know, playing around with wildfires in an Omniverse, it's here. It's being developed, and it's here. Again, I'm not making fun of these people. I would love to have that experience and just see what that's like and see what the technology is all about, how it would be implemented. But again, my image is just a type 1 IC sitting in a yurt in a field somewhere with VR goggles on, headphones, and an Uncrustable and some camp coffee running these operations. And then finance is still asking the last firefighter on the ground to take a lunch and show it. I find it fascinating. If you want to make a bunch of money, I would start getting task books signed off on all of this technology and do what you can to be trained up in this stuff, because you do still need operators, you still need maintenance, you need mechanics, you need all this stuff still. Honestly, I don't think hotshot crews are going to go away, jumpers won't go away, but it is an excuse to downsize part of the operational force once you start getting armies of artificial intelligence aircraft and bots to start wandering around our national forests with blimps the size of soccer arenas floating overhead everywhere, so connectivity is always overhead. Fascinating article. I know some folks who are involved in these programs at pretty high levels. I'm trying to get them on the show. And the reason I cover it is because I'm fascinated by it, and I've been talking about it for years now. One of my original articles on Substack was about drones in wildfire. One of my original podcasts was on drones in wildfire. And I just find fire tech fascinating. One, because it's basically being turned into the fire industrial complex. It's a merger of the military industrial complex and fire suppression. That's unquestionable. It is what it is. I like following that progression, and I want to see these things used real time. I want to see if they're capable of doing what they're doing in the lab. Can they operate in the field as well as they're operating under these controlled circumstances? Tell me what you think in the comments. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. Again, thanks to all the paid Substack subscribers. If you want to participate in supporting the show, all of the updates that I do, the giveaways, the firefighter donations, and everything else, just go to thehotshotwakeup.substack.com, click on subscribe, and that will help support everything that I do here at the Hotshot Wake Up. In closing, I wanted to cover the Tunnel Fire Origin Investigation. It's real short. Came out on the 21st of this month. The Tunnel Fire was a wind-driven fire outside of Flagstaff. It burned up a bunch of homes. It was a mess. And the local rumors around town were that someone started it, and it was known that it wasn't a lightning fire after about 24 hours. And they put out their conclusion. And it's kind of anticlimactic, but they have an ask inside of it, which is, the Southwest Region Law Enforcement and Investigation Organization has completed its investigation to the origin and cause of the tunnel fire, which began mid-April 2022. The investigation identified the specific origin area and excluded many case determinations, but the cause of the fire still remains undetermined. Law enforcement is still encouraging anyone who may have information regarding who started the tunnel fire to contact the Coconino National Forest. There were 60-mile-an-hour winds the day it started. Almost 1,400 structures were threatened. 30 residences and 24 outbuildings were lost. The fire grew to 19,000 acres and wasn't contained until June 1st. But investigators concluded their investigation. They said, hey, we still don't know exactly how it started, but we know where it started. And they're asking for anybody in the public who has information about that devastating fire outside of Flagstaff to step forward and say, yo, like this is what happened. So I just wanted to get that in there because it was a big deal down in that community. And this kind of adds a little bit of closure to that investigation. Just that they don't know the exact details, but they know where it started. And it's, obviously it's looking like a human caused fire. So getting that out there as we close the show, just for the final piece of information. On that note, again, thanks to the subscribers on Substack for liking, sharing, subscribing. I really appreciate everybody who supports that. Reach out to someone you haven't talked to in a while. Check in on how they're doing. Say what's up to your homies. Get outside, get some exercise, hydrate. Make sure you stretch, eat those quality calories. Get the rest you need because you can't recover otherwise. But remember, when you get up, you got to get it done.
For you.